And right now we're joined by the mayor of Carrboro, Lydia Lavelle, on the phone today. And Mayor, thanks for joining us. And what is the town doing to get ready for the storm?
Hi, Aaron. Well, I've been listening to everything you've been saying, and that's a lot of the same material that we've been pushing out through social media to our citizens in our town. I think a couple of them in particular, specifically I know with regard to Carrboro, our Public Works Department has been kind of paying special attention to areas we have that receive extra flooding sometimes, and making sure that culverts are cleared and making sure that there's not a lot of buildup of leaves and branches and so on to try to get ahead of any potential flooding we might have with this intense rain we're going to get. And I think the other thing that you have been saying that we also have been passing along to residents is really important information about electricity, about losing power. I know that when I've read over this material that has been sent out, heavy winds, and it looks like we're going to get some heavy winds, Duke Energy can't really do work in bucket trucks, I'm told, when wind is above 30 miles an hour, and we might have some sustained wind above 30 miles an hour for quite some time. So I think folks need to be really careful about the power lines in particular, because I know at least the last storm we had, and maybe even the last two or three, I know in my neighborhood we've always had a few down power lines, and it's really important to kind of stay away from those and to not go anywhere near them and report them as quickly as you can to Duke Energy so they can get repaired.
Absolutely, and watch out for down power lines and stay away from them, and also just sort of keep all of your cell phones and laptops and everything charged, cell phones especially, so if the power outage comes, you've got that charge for at least a couple of days.
Absolutely, and you know, there are some folks in Carrboro, like myself, that live in neighborhoods also where we're still on private well and septic, and I know that another thing we do is always run a little extra water in the tub or some buckets of water in case, because when you lose power, then you lose access to water in the house, and you might need that as well. So
speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and is there any talk amongst Orange County Emergency Services of opening a shelter or having one available just in case, or have we not gotten to that point yet?
You know, I have the report kind of right in front of me, and I don't see that on here yet, but I do know that these situation reports go out at regular intervals between all of the agencies, and I'm sure that they have that kind of in the back of their mind if it's necessary, but I don't see it on the couple of pages that were handed to me, but I'm sure that it's something that's been discussed.
Again, speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, 4 to 5 inches of rain is what we're expecting, give or take, for Orange County for the next 36 hours, especially on Saturday morning. The rain is expected to be heaviest, but some pretty heavy rain in general on Friday night and into Saturday as well. So as we're moving on to other topics, because there's a lot going on in Carrboro, let's talk about Walk to School Day, which just took place a couple of days ago. Maybe not a great day to get out and walk around tomorrow, but Wednesday certainly was, and you were out leading a trip to Carrboro Elementary.
Yeah, Wednesday morning was really fun. We advertised Walk to School Day with the mayor, and we've had Walk to School Day the last several years, and I've participated in it actually as a biker a few times, but this was the first time I actually went out to meet kids to walk to school with them, and it was a lot of fun. We met at Wilson Park, I think, total between kids and some parents, we probably had around 30 people or so, and we really started our direct kind of advertisement of walking with me just a couple of days before that event, and as I say, it started at Wilson Park, and we walked to Carrboro Elementary, and I think what we'll do next year, one thought might be to even start it at Estes Park and kind of come up to Wilson Park and then go on to Carrboro Elementary, and or just advertise it even more frequently than we did, because I know the kids that were there really had a good time. The weather was beautiful. People really enjoyed kind of walking on that cold morning, you know, to school. And when we arrived at Carrboro Elementary, the Safe Routes to School Committee / the Carrboro Bicycle Coalition folks had a lot of kind of chotsky that they could give the kids, to kind of commemorate the day, you know, stickers, pencils, water bottles, just kind of awareness of, hey, you know, this is a lot of fun. don't just do it once or twice a year. Try to do it more regularly. So.
Absolutely. So we were talking about this last week. Did people have to drive to Wilson Park to pick up the walk, or were most people able to get to Wilson Park their own way?
You know, we had actually quite a few that just walked there and
That's
then walked
good.
With me. Yeah, there were a couple that drove there, but in large part, we actually captured a lot of kids who walked, and so that was really nice. And I know specifically there were several kids who kind of showed up that had heard about the event and actually came to the park to do it. And again, a few of them came in cars, but most of them were kids that walked there and kind of either diverted on their way or it was along the way. So
that's good. So that was a couple of days ago. Let's talk about some things that are coming up next weekend. We've got the West End Poetry Festival at the Century Center and also the Friends of the Library book sale at McDougal Middle School, right?
We do. And when we're finished with both of those, I have one more I want to mention.
Okay.
But the first one I want to talk about is the Friends of the Carborough Branch Library annual book sale. So this is the annual sale in the McDougal Schools Cafetorium, and it's on Saturday and Sunday. And one thing I want to kind of put out to any listeners is on Friday afternoon, that's when the Friends actually have to get the books out of their storage and get them into the cafetorium and get them set up in place. And I know every year, this is always a challenge for them to find folks who are available in the afternoon, like between 3 and 5, to do this, because they kind of wait until the end of the school day so they can do it. But they actually get all the books out, put them out there, and sort them out. And I often help them find volunteers to kind of help carry these books in and out. My students are all on fall break on Friday. And so I just wanted to kind of put out a plea to anyone listening, if you're able to help or if you have young people who can help with this movement of the books from the vans into the cafetorium, contact me, either email me at lavelle@townofcarborough.org, or you could also contact Linda Browner, who is with the Friends of the Carborough Library. Her phone number is 919-969-8145, and she also helps coordinate folks that want to work at the book sale, which is on Saturday and Sunday at McDougal.
And that volunteer time is this time next week, right?
Yeah, the volunteer time is exactly this time next week, right? Between like 3:30 and 5, then that's to get it all set up, and at the end of the day on Sunday after 4, they break it all down. But it's open for business on Saturday. You know, they're selling their books on Saturday from 8 to 3, and then on Sunday from 1 to 4, and Sundays when they have their bag sale, when you can take, for $6, you can put as much as you can in a bag of books. So,
awesome. So that's going to be this coming weekend, not this weekend, but next at McDougal Middle School. Again, 3 or 3:30 to 5 is when that volunteer opportunity is on Friday. If you want to get in on that, get in touch with Mayor Lavelle. And then we've got the West End Poetry Festival going on this weekend, too, or next weekend, rather.
Yeah, next weekend. That's another great Carborough event going on. I think the 11th anniversary of the Poetry Festival, and it begins, as it has the last several years, on Friday evening at Flyleaf from 6:30 to 8:30, and that's always kind of fun because there's some book signings, a little time for mingling and so on. And then on Saturday, I know it kicks off at noon because I want to make sure I'm there near the beginning of the event to kind of greet folks and be there for a while. Not sure how long. It all sounds fabulous, and I'm not sure. I know people stay the whole time off, and I'm not sure how long I'll be able to stay. But I want to attend part of it. It starts out with a workshop, and then different kind of events where different poets share their poems and talk about perspectives. And I remember hearing this early in the week on your show, I think too, that the topic is the interplay of healing with poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's going to be a great afternoon for poets, all ages, all experience, a nice Carborough event.
And I like the fact that you can sort of participate in it however much you want. There's an open mic. You can go and actually get up on stage and read your work. You can go and just sit there and watch. There are workshops. You can write and learn how to write poetry or get tips and tools and techniques on how to write better. Any of those are available.
Absolutely. You know, as you said, late in the day, we have this open mic begins, where anyone can sign up to read a poem, no longer than 3 minutes, but,
yes,
to read a single poem. And then, there's a kind of a dinner reception. And then, of course, it concludes with our new poet laureate, Gary Phillips, reading a little bit and then having the poet, Michael McPhee, who's going to be there, kind of close it down. So it's sounds like a great lineup.
Awesome. So that's also coming up, not this weekend, but next. And then you mentioned one other event.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to mention that our planning board, every fall does a series of workshops or just events for the public, or, and it focuses around some area of planning. Well, this fall, they have it's kind of an honor of National Planning Month, which is October. So this fall, they're having their walk and talk downtown Carverough, three different walks where what they're billing them as walking conversations, and they're each focused on a different theme. And they're kind of based on Jane Jacobs, who, you know, is kind of a well-known urbanist. She used to have what were called, like, Jane's Walks, you know, and basically kind of walking downtown and paying particular attention to your environment and your immediate presence in the downtown area as you walk. And the first one of these walks starts is going to be on this Monday, October 10th at 6 o'clock, and folks can meet on the Weaver Street lawn. And the topic of this Monday's walk is downtown architecture and history, and it's being led by none other than our former mayor, Mark Chilton, in our Register of Deeds, awesome. I guess, Mark Chilton.
All right, awesome. And do we know the other two?
The other two, the themes are, the second one is called Inclusivity in the Downtown, the Experiences of Communities of Color, awesome. And that one's on Thursday, actually, October 13th. So I guess I should mention all three of these because the second one will be before I speak again.
Mm-hmm.
That one, the gathering is at St. Paul's AME Church, and I'm not sure who's leading that one, but I imagine that one will go, you know, around St. Paul's, around Northside area and Broad Street area. And then the last one is next Saturday at 2 o'clock, so kind of in the middle of the Poetry Festival.
Right.
And that one is called Gathering Spaces in Downtown. And that one meets at 2 o'clock in front of Town Hall, on the front steps of Town Hall. And I know it kind of, you know, hit various spots in downtown. And I'm like, you know, you may have this question too, Aaron. I'm really interested in what the conversations are going to center around during these walks, because I always like to take, you know, history walks and architectural walks, and I'll be interested to see what the folks who are leading these three walks, what they have to say.
And I love those walks, because I've been on them before, or things like it before, and it's just fascinating to look at a building that you've seen 1,000 times before, and you get a new perspective on it, or you see some new feature, some new detail, or you learn something new about its history that makes you see it a completely different way.
Absolutely. You're right, and I've been on a few of those in our downtown, and I would like very much to get a real nice detailed history tour walking around our town, because, you know, you're here long enough and you kind of develop and learn about your own stories about what those buildings represent and what they have meant to the town through the years. And I think it's really fascinating to be able to share those with people, and I imagine that's a little bit of what we'll hear from Mark on Monday, because he certainly is one of our local historians.
So that first one is Monday, 6 p.m., meet at Weaver Street, at the Weaver Street lawn, and get involved in that tour. Is there a place that people can go to find out information? Is it on the website?
Yes, there's a news release on our Town of Carverough website that kind of will, if folks want to be reminded of these dates and locations and times, they can go right there. Yeah.
Awesome. Again, we're speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavelle of the Town of Carverough. And Mayor, before we let you go, I know we got a meeting coming up on Wednesday of next week. No Board of Aldermen meeting per se, but the board is holding a joint meeting on Wednesday with the Board of County Commissioners. Do we know what's going on there?
Yeah, it's actually on Thursday, October 13th.
Thursday, yeah, sorry
yeah,
about
that. Yeah, and you scared me for a minute there, Aaron. But anyway, yeah, it's on Thursday, and so this is our joint meeting with the commissioners, you know, a little different than our Assembly of Governments where we all get together, so it's a really nice opportunity to get to talk about issues between the two boards of concern and or that we want to highlight. And we have, I know, a couple of general topics that we're going to discuss that evening. One is, are a couple of economic development situations or issues or conversations we want to have. The first one is a follow-up on the town land that we own off of Old Highway 86. And maybe I talked to you about this, but a few weeks ago we talked about the possibility of the town looking at land we own and expanding it to include light manufacturing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So we want to kind of talk.
And making it look rural and, yeah,
right,
I remember
like
that.
Barns,
yeah,
and things,
yep,
right?
Yep, yep.
So we want to talk to the county about that and make sure they're aware of our thinking about that. Now, we're still in the very early stages of considering that and speaking, doing outreach with neighbors and so on. But we want to make sure that the commissioners know what we're thinking of up there. And then secondly, likewise, Highway 54, We've talked about our commercial challenges, but potential we have for light manufacturing out Highway 54, and want to also discuss what's going on out there with the commissioners while we're all in the same room so they know what's going on. And then the last topic is talking about the green tract, because there seems to be increasing kind of interest and or movement among all of the governing bodies to, you know, kind of remember we own this piece of property and that we've talked about what we might want to do with it in years to come, you know, affordable housing or school or open space or whatever, and maybe go ahead and start down the road of really getting serious about some plans and getting that moving along, particularly in light of a report we recently received from the Jackson Center as the Rogers Road infrastructure has started to kind of come forward with the 86 historic properties that we're working to provide water and sewer to, or sewer to, I should say. We have received a report from the Jackson Center called Mapping Our Future, and it's got a lot of really interesting information and feedback from the Rogers Road community as to how they see their future, and I think that, you know, however the green tract develops, I think we'd be right in line with, obviously, we'd want it to be right in line with what the neighbors want.
That meeting is coming up on Thursday. I keep saying Wednesday. Our meeting is coming up on Thursday between the Board of Aldermen and the Board of County Commissioners. Don't forget the West End Poetry Festival, not this weekend, but next. Same goes for the Carolina Friends of the, or the Carver Friends of the Library book sale. All of those walking tours beginning on Monday at 6 p.m. at Weaver Street Market, the first of three. And just in general, be safe out there with the rain. Carver Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.